Welcome to Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Cope.
I'm Freddie Wolf.
We got movie number two for March Madness.
Yeah, we do.
To be or not to be. I was thinking about how are we going to start this one? Are we going to start this one the same way that we did last year when we were blessed with Snake Eater 3?
Yeah, let me give you a little intro. All right, here we go. If you like boobs and blood, this is a good one.
Boobs, blood, questionable green screen.
Boobs, blood, questionable green screen, a whole lot of foul mouth, super hot, sweaty, dirty fucking... Yeah, dude, there's a lot going on in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fantastic. It is this. This will be the Snake Eater 3 of 2024 by far. I guarantee it.
I think we might reach a new low with this whole project if we took any of the three of the five follow-ups to this movie that Tubi gave us.
Yeah.
Even both of us are kind of going, oh, we can't do any of those.
The ones that came after this? Look, what we're talking about is 2009's Rick Jacobson's Bitch Slap.
Okay.
Which...
Yes. Now, okay, it's called Bitch Slap. And then you see the art for it and you think, oh, they're goofing on Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch.
Right.
Maybe the art is, but here's the problem with that analogy. This shit came out 2 years before Sucker Punch did.
Yeah, man. It's funny because this movie to me, like we talked about briefly, I mean, it's got a lot of Robert Rodriguez in the DNA of this movie.
Right. Right. And I think that's another thing too. Even though it looks Zack Snyder-y and you think Bitch Slap / Sucker Punch, kind of, they're like similarly worded titles. Well, the font that they use for Bitch Slap is Sin City.
It is. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. It's the same font. Yeah.
So when you watch this, even though your more recent recollection of things is it draws you to Snyder because it's more recent than Sin City, either of the original or the sequel. But this movie through and through is very much a Sin City vibe. It's not such sucker punches like you want to, as the poster wants you to think it is.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. And what's crazy about this movie is I still can't tell you what the fucking story is, and nor does it matter. I mean, it doesn't matter.
I've never seen a more convoluted story. Like, okay, so usually movies like this, you're like wondering, like, story-wise. I mean, there's a
when
story
is it gonna
there
fall
somewhere.
Apart? When is the story going to fall apart? Well, yes. You don't get that here.
Do you know why the story never falls apart? Because they keep adding to it. It never ends.
Yes. No, 100%. That's exactly what they do. They just keep, like, adding something. Every time there's one of those single-card flashbacks, you know, 3 minutes later, 8 hours and 3 minutes later, whatever that is, they just add something new. So you're never like, you're never going to get to the end or the bottom's never going to fall out because they just keep changing the bottom.
I texted you right in the middle of the second act because this is where the hour and 49 minute movie that it is makes you think this is like 30 minutes too long.
Right.
I was like, this is tough to get to. And like, you texted me back.
I knew where you're at. You didn't have to tell me. You didn't have to tell me. I was like, oh, he looked at his watch. Cause it's probably the same place, exact same place I looked at my watch.
Yeah.
And I was like, how much longer is this? And I'm like, why is it, you know, cause I was enjoying it, but it was like,
right. I think it's with, cause being when they do the cutaways with the flashbacking, there's a certain point where it happens too often. All right. Well, now you're just confusing me. Maybe that was intentional. I don't know. But okay, let me say something first before we get too deep into it. So you already mentioned Rick Jacobson. He directed it and he's also the co-writer along with Eric Grunderman. And Grunderman he's super tied to Sam Raimi and Rob Tabbert. Obviously these guys have been from Evil Dead forward. Well, he worked a lot with them with the Hercules series and with Kanzina. I had to think about it. And the irony is that both the stars of those shows are in this movie with very brief cameos.
Yes.
I have to say though, when you get to the moment where Lucy Lawless has her cameo.
Yes.
Is that not Machete?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
I mean,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of Rodriguez DNA in this, like intentional or unintentional or,
yeah.
I mean, but I'm sure it's all intentional, right? They obviously love Robert Rodriguez. Right. And for the most part, this is as good as a Machete movie. I mean, maybe you don't get Danny Trejo, but Jacobson also directed like 8 or 9 episodes of Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Later on.
There was a, I mean, and he's got a pretty dense Tubi catalog as far as feature films go.
Sure.
Because he worked with Dragon quite a bit, Don the Dragon Wilson, several movies that are presently available on Tubi. And also this movie, I corrected. Did you see that A Bold Affair, Art?
Yes.
I mean, do you guys Basic Instinct much? Because that's ridiculous. But I wish you would have made this one in runtime. It's an hour and 38 minutes. Anyway, the irony, of course, like Robert Rodriguez was heavily influenced by Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. And he's never been one to shy away from that,
right,
that actuality. So for people that are involved with Raimi to turn and
in turn, something right,
more like Robert Rodriguez, I thought that was pretty clever. But like I mentioned, there is a moment in this movie where it's a slog. And there, because of the back and forth between the desert and the cutaways of the flashbacks, you're wondering like, all right, is this going to get somewhere? Because all you're doing is just adding a story and I can't tell what the fuck is going on. Now, the act two has always been it's the meat of your storytelling sandwich, but I just think there's too much meat on that sandwich.
But here's the thing. They're doing the, what is it? It's the shotgun effect, right? Like you just keep loading buckshot and you keep shooting it at the wall till the wall's gone. And they really just kind of doing that. They just keep throwing shit at the wall until, you know, everything, some of it sticks, some of it doesn't stick. Some of it sticks where you don't want it to, or it runs down and it sticks on the floor. But what this movie does remind me of, it's very much like those Dimension Extreme movies. This is kind of like in the same world as Feast, the Feast movies. Am I wrong?
What I was going to say is this movie has more ties to why didn't offer this movie to us after we watched Feast is Beyond Me.
I don't know.
And this movie fits more in with what we did last year.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, I felt like I'm surprised that this didn't get offered to us last year.
Yeah.
I know it sounds dumb to say this, but it's hard to follow. There's moments. Again, because it's just
hard to follow doesn't even do it justice.
It's like you. And again, I guess if you look at Sin City, does Sin City really have an ending?
No.
Right. I mean, it's a series of comic books, but they continue. Now, a couple of the storylines in Sin City finish, but this is all one giant story. This isn't characters crossing over into other stories and then being folded into one movie. Okay. Let's talk about the performers in this, the three main stars.
The trio of women. They're really fun, man.
They are. And there, when you get to the end, you're a little more understanding of why you think, okay.
The little Kaiser Soze fucking rip off.
Yeah. With Julia Voth, and what's interesting about that, you think she's just not a good actress.
Right. You think you're like, oh God, she is. You think, oh God, they only cast her because she's good looking.
Right.
But
they completely play it up like she's just another one of these, you know, really attractive women that they put in this movie, but she can act.
Dude, she actually, like when all the double and triple crosses start happening, yeah. I was like, holy shit, dude. Yeah. Cause she sold it all. Like I was like, oh no.
Right. Because you've seen that kind of performance from people because he just can't act.
Right. Correct. You've seen it from, you know, hey, you're a model, be in my movie. Yeah, but she's quite fun. Aaron Cummings as Hal is great.
Yeah.
And America Olivo is probably my, I don't want to say she, I wanted to say she's my favorite, but I don't know that I have a favorite between the three of them because I enjoy what all of them are doing.
I love that when you get to the end and Julia has her moment, that I'm like, she ended up being my favorite. Up to that point, Aaron Cummings was there. Like she was of the three, she was my favorite because I got to the point with America where I'm like going, I felt like she was doing like a real life Beavis from Beavis and Butthead when he caught Julio's out, right?
Yeah, totally. Like yes. Yeah, there's a lot of that especially toward the end.
She's like, what is she? Like she like takes some kind of mystery drug to kind of like calm herself down, but it freaks her out even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so in a movie I just got done telling you is too long, I wanted a little bit of information. What the hell was wrong with her?
I also wanted a little bit more information about Hotwire and Kinky.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing, dude. When they start doing pony play with Kinky riding around on the back of Trixie, I was like, what the fuck is happening now?
Yeah.
Like I said, somewhere in the afterlife, Russ Meyer has a boner.
Yeah. There were so many great moments in this. And by the way, you know, Zoe Bell's in this. And
yeah,
after the movie starts and you have this phenomenal opening credits, it's just so good. I love the opening credits. I wish they would have kept having people slap each other.
Yes.
But it, as soon as I see Zoe Bell's name come up, and I'm like, of course. Of course.
You're not making this movie without Zoe Bell.
No, no. And it's another reason why you're thinking it's where? Shot in either New Zealand or Australia. Yes. You don't think LA at all.
Right. You don't realize. I mean, I've shot out in Palmdale and Lancaster plenty. And like I told you, they do a really good job of somehow framing out those fucking Joshua trees that always give it away.
Right. And again, we can make another connection to all that too, because guess what else was shot out in the same area? From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh yes, From Dusk Till Dawn. I would have thought Feast was shot out there, but Feast was shot like in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought about it. I thought, because again, if it wasn't for Project Greenlight, we wouldn't know.
Right. Totally. Right. We wouldn't know at all.
For genre followers, and I just don't mean horror, but I'm talking about sci-fi slash action-y kind of stuff. I love, because out of nowhere, when there's this big gunfight at the end of the movie, Debbie Lee Carrington shows up.
Yep.
She's the little person that you see in Total Recall, and she is just blazing. I love the fact that they cast her to do that, because that whole ending is like, okay, I just threw, if I was in a movie theater, I would have just thrown my popcorn up in the air, like, what the fuck is going on? Because I have no idea. As if you already weren't confused about everything anyway, but you get to that end, you're like, get the fuck out of here with this shit.
Dude, you know another place that this has a connection to another movie we did is Karen Austin is the narrator, and she plays John Candy's wife in Summer Rental, which is so fucking weird, dude.
Who does that?
Yes. It's Karen Austin is the narrator for this. I was like, why is her voice over there? And I was looking through and I looked and I clicked her name, and her first credit that comes up is as Sandy Chester in Summer Rental, known for. I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
Get out of here.
Wow.
Right? Like, it's just such a weird movie. Like, but I feel like everybody's obviously having a good time. I want to say this, even Kevin Sorbo doesn't fuck this up when he's on screen.
He doesn't say a lot.
Nope. He just has to look cool with his glasses on and hold those guns in the right place.
Yeah. This is before we found out what a fucking nut job he was.
Yes. But I mean, we get a lot of crazy people in this movie. Like, do we get, I don't know how you say her name. Is it Minae Naji?
The one who plays Kinky. Yeah.
Plays Kinky. I mean, cause she's from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She was in Be Cool, you know, but dude, her and her man, Hotwire.
Yeah.
Who I'd never seen. I don't think I've ever seen William Gregory Lee before. But dude, I kept thinking this dude is totally, he's got a weird flea vibe. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he kind of, I kept looking at him like, that's not Flea, man. But because the rotten, blacked out tea, all of it, you know, I mean, it's all working.
Yeah. He had a semi-regular gig on Dark Angel.
Right. The Jessica Alba thing.
Yeah. And he also did.
You're right.
He did a whole season of Justified.
Yeah, totally. Now, See, I just couldn't remember. See, again, I wouldn't recognize him from those two shows, from this.
No. And you have to see it once, I think it's season 3 of Justified. And again, just like with Justified, there's so many people on that show that you wouldn't recognize once the hair's grown up and everyone's getting greasy. And it's not like this guy, you're going to see this guy walk down the street and recognize him. Not the way his hair and makeup and the way he's fitted costume wise. You would never recognize this guy in person. You just wouldn't. Those two characters were great. Again, if you were going to make this movie 60 seconds longer, I want 60 seconds of them.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
With you.
Yeah.
And, you know, poor old Deputy Fuchs.
Dude, poor soul, man.
This first scene where he first shows up and she's like, okay, Deputy Fuchs. He's like, man, Fuchs. It's Fuchs.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie is totally ridiculous. It fires on every cylinder, sometimes a lot of time to its own detriment, because it's just so full of like, it's just so packed with octane that, you know, it's some places it explodes and implodes and explodes again.
Yeah. Everybody in this, you think you've seen before, and it's because you have.
Oh,
they just play in smaller parts, and sometimes they're bit parts, but they play in really big stuff. I'm like, America, like you noted earlier, America is in a shit ton of movies.
Yep.
I mean, you already mentioned Michael Bay, like off the cuff, as far as the comparisons go. And she's in a couple of Michael Bay movies.
Yeah. She's been in a couple episodes of Lioness recently.
And the feature film, but she did a lot of TV work in the last, you know, 10, 15, well, not 10 years, but like the last 8 years or so. There's a reason why she looks familiar, and that's why, because there she is in everything, actually.
Yeah, dude, she's in, I mean, if you look her up, you're just like, holy shit, dude. You know, because, I mean, she looks instantly familiar, but you think she's somebody else. That's a gift.
Yes.
That's her gift, right?
Yes.
Like, you're like, she looks like the girl from this, and you're like, oh, it is the girl from this.
Yeah.
She looks like the girl from that. Oh, it is the girl from that.
And when you see her play Amanda in the Friday the 13th remake, when I saw her, and when you mentioned her, I'm like, I had already looked it up. I'm like, fuck, yes. Out of the three of them, she's the most chameleon-like, because I'm like, as soon as I start looking up her credits, I'm like, oh, I remember her in that. I remember her in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It's funny, dude, because weirdly, my favorite fucking person in this whole fucking movie is Michael Hurst, who plays Gage.
Okay. Why is it that again, as I said earlier, two men wrote this movie. So when you start hearing all the derogatory slang about a woman's privates that these women sling at each other, it says, dude, you chuckle at them because you're just going, God,
man wrote this. But dude, it's funny as shit coming out of the, it's funny.
But when Hearst says it, it's ridiculous.
Yes. No, there's lots of it that's cringeworthy, dude. Certainly, what is that? What's the one where she walks in and she finds Hal and Trixie going down on each other in the trailer? What does she say?
I don't remember.
Smash and gash.
Yes. Again, only a line a dude would come up with.
Right. But only a line that a
woman can say
that can deliver with it and make it. I don't know.
I don't know how to describe.
I don't either, man. You guys got to kind of watch the movie. You know, look, everybody, just watch the movie. It's so hard to like say what's good and what's bad without sounding like total fucking shitbags. But I, you know, somehow it just weirdly, a lot of it works, a lot of it doesn't work, but it certainly is entertaining, other than the fact it's 20 minutes too long.
Yeah. I mean, the irony is that this may end up being one of our shortest movie episodes ever, because it is such a visual thing. And the irony is that we swapped this movie with our third movie, our closer for the month, because we wanted to do it as a commentary, which... Okay, now I'm going to let the cat out of the bag and say that, but maybe I'll cut it out. We'll see. But we swapped it out because we want to do something special with the last one. And we felt the last one was far too visual to do as a standard movie episode.
This one would have been
this one, I think this one, the whole time we would have just been laughing and not saying a damn thing other than with exclamations of, holy fuck, did they really say that?
There would have just been a lot of beep, beep, you know.
I would feel uncomfortable sitting watching this with other people, honestly. Certain people, like if you and I hanging on the couch watching it, it would be so ridiculous. But like sitting there with people, maybe I know, like an acquaintance was sitting on the couch watch. I don't know. It would be weird, because
it's funny, because I would totally recommend this movie to people. But
I mean, I would, but it's like going to the right friends.
People. Yeah, I would have to recommend it to the right people. There's other people I would just say, look, it's not your fucking cup of tea. I can tell you that right now. Just don't bother. Just listen to our episode.
When we decide to do this movie, and after we decide, because we didn't have the premise of the month is that movie that we just got done watching, got done listening to us talk about, was based on the bot's decisions and requests, and recommendations. That was our next movie or a selection from the recommendations. I sat there thinking to myself, how are we going to put in there? How am I going to say bitch slap when I put this, when we list this episode? So I'm like, all right, so I got to put in B with some asterisks next to it, I guess. But it just lent to itself of, who do you recommend this movie to? I don't know, man. It's a
Mario.
I came upstairs to watch the rest of the movie, and I told Melody and Michael, if you need anything, text me, because I'm going to have headphones on, because no one needs to hear this. And after I said that, the rest of the movie was probably the most vile and foul dialogue you have.
Oh my God. I mean, it literally just goes on a fucking swear tirade. I mean, but again, this movie, here's the thing. They totally go for it. They're all the way in. There's no pussyfooting around. They didn't stick their toe in the pool and decide not to get in. They just fucking cannonballed their asses in there. I mean, down to the sound effects, dude.
The sound design is pretty fucking good, dude. It's pretty right? good.
The sound design is really good.
There was something that happened, and it was, to me, it was an attention to detail, and then it kind of clicked. I'm like, you know what? The sound design is really good. It's when Camaro speeds off with the car, and it's proper gravel sound. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it kind of jarred me, kind of like, wow, you know what? The sound design really is good in this movie. And it's because that kind of thing, a movie that you think this movie is, because that's the thing. It runs under the guise that it is something far less, well, again, far less Raimi, far less Sin City. You know what I mean? I think the Sin City thing is just more of a production level kind of thing. This movie is more like a Sam Raimi thing. This feels like a Ghost House project. It feels like that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And because of that, because of the lowly of green screen moments, again, I'm realizing now how far more intentional it is, but you don't feel that way when you're slogging through the mud of that slow part of the act two. Once you get past that, once you hit the third act, I'm like, it's just the pedals on the floor all the way through.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting for the moment where we're going to like, all right, when are we going to get the reveal of Trixie? Look into the heavens. Like, how did we get here moment? And I love when you get to that ending, there's still another 15 minutes after that.
Right?
That's the one time that we're seeing a flashback that we don't know is a flashback.
No, you're absolutely right. It is. Are you talking about the tattoo reveal?
No. Because the opening of the movie has her looking to the heavens. Yes. How do we get here? Yes. And that starts the flashback of all the stories.
Right.
But you don't realize that what we think is present is actually, it's an uncarded flashback. Since all of the flashbacks have cards.
So. No, right. Every one of them to let you know that you're going into a flashback. Thank God. Because look, it's kind of clever at first, but then there's just too many of them. I'm like, oh, fuck. All right.
You know what I talk about, though, too? You know that episode where of The Simpsons where they're goofing on Cape Fear?
Yes.
And Sideshow Bob keeps stepping on the rakes.
Yes.
And Kelsey Grammer's like, ugh, every time he steps on a new rake and it's funny, then it stops being funny and then it's a funny again.
Yes.
And then they cut away. That's what I eventually get. I found like once that like the last two or three flashback cards came up, I'm like, then I started laughing again because I'm like, all right, I get it now. But this movie's much smarter than we can even detail because you need to experience it. But again, it's not for the faint at heart.
No,
it really is not.
But if you're willing to stick it out, it's fucking real fun, man.
And there is nudity in the movie, but it's not as gratuitous as you might think. And it's not as gratuitous as you're watching it,
you're waiting for it to get worse, but then it never does.
The nudity never, when I say an hour and 49 minutes, I mean, you're seeing maybe 10 seconds tops combined, maybe?
It takes you there, but it doesn't it never gets distracting or becomes like, oh God, another, you know what I mean? Most people would never complain about too much nudity, but it would just start to detract from it.
Yeah.
If they're ripping each other's clothes off. The thing about it is it looks cool with a little bit of clothes on, dude. It's, I don't want to say tastefully because there's nothing tasteful about this movie.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it's not gratuitous, like you said. So right.
If you're going to say like, wait, you see movie, oh, it's a love letter to this. It's a love letter to that. Okay. This is 100% a love letter to Sam Raimi, Robert Rodriguez, and
Russ Meyer.
Yeah. 100%. And if you know that, but you don't know that before you watch it, that's the thing, is kind of a drag. I wish I knew that ahead of time. Because then it would have been easier to settle into it. But this movie, even listen to us rant about it for 30 minutes, you are not going to be ready for bitch slap.
No.
I don't think so anyway.
You're about to be bitch slapped by bitch slap.
It's so ridiculous. And I love the fact that this is the title of the movie. And you know how we know it didn't change because Zack Snyder was working on Sucker Punch when they were maybe doing post on this? Is the LLC is named bitch slap.
Yep.
So you can't, that, I mean, for those of you who don't know that about movies, like when you see that LLC thing at the end, the very last line you see, every movie has its own companies. It's incorporated. So the studio at large, if anything happens on it, that LLC will get sued, not the studio. So Bitchslap was already an LLC before, and that name was already baked into the incorporated portion of the project. So it,
yeah, there was no going back.
So who stole from who, man? Sucker Punch stole from Punch stole.
Yeah, look, because like literally when it popped up, we both were like, oh God, it's going to be a Sucker Punch ripoff. Awesome. Right. And then as soon as I got ready to watch it, I was like, wait a second.
You texted me.
And I was like, oh wait, holy shit. How did this happen? No, I was going to say the Tubi, the bot gods dialed up a good one.
Yeah, because you know what? Just like with Snake Eater 3, I don't think we would have ever watched this movie because it looked like something that we don't even like.
Dude, it's been out for 15 years.
But once you realize that you're watching, you're like, oh, they're not looking at Sucker Punch. They're looking at Robert Rodriguez. They're looking at Russ Meyer. They're looking at Sam Raimi. Once you see that.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't know who was involved with this until I started. I took a break from the movie to do some work. And then I looked it up, some of the IMDb stuff, and I'm like, this makes so much more sense now. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, at the end of the day, dude, it was fun. Like again, the reason why we do this is we're going to see movies that we probably have never seen or probably would never have seen because this has been out for 15 years and didn't even know it existed.
Right.
Until we watched DOA and it came up at the end.
Now, I want to say something else about this before we kind of wrap this up. I don't want anyone to feel, at least from my point of view, I don't want anyone to feel like our asterisks of, oh, now I know it's a Russ Meyer thing. Oh, now I know why. Don't let my qualifications of those comparisons deter you from seeing the movie. It's like, and I don't mean that, I'm not complimenting the movie now because I know those three things. It's just some of those things that you just, that don't come across when you watch a trailer or just see the poster or read the description.
Yeah.
It does itself a major disservice if all you do is, if you're one of those people that never watches trailers, this movie is going to surprise the fuck out of you because it's not what you expect.
Right. No. Again, to me, this is a movie that I just think is, I'm glad that we found this movie.
Right. How about this, dude? Shave the movie 30 minutes, put a grain overlay on it, and stick it in with the Grindhouse movies.
Right.
I'd rather watch this than fucking Death Proof.
I'd rather watch this than fucking Sin City, A Dame to Die For.
I barely got through that, and I fucking adore Sin City. I couldn't get through it, dude.
You mean the second movie?
I barely made it. I barely made it through the second one. I was like,
I never finished. I couldn't get through it.
My love for the first movie is fuel to get through the second one, and I barely made it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that that it was enough fuel. I never finished it. I was like, fuck, man.
I understand.
You know what? This movie's also better than the Frank Miller movie, Spirit.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to qualify or throw it again.
That's what I've seen earlier, yeah.
But it's very much like those movies, like the way it's shot. It just goes for it. Here's the thing, man. They went in. They had their moment and they swung and they left it all on the table, dude.
Yep. And this hit theaters. And I'm not surprised because of the Raimi connections, right? This probably did some serious dollars down in New Zealand because of the association to Raimi and all the work they did down there. I was still completely floored by all that desert work being done.
Yep.
In LA, up in Antelope Valley, because I would never have known because like you said, there's always something up there that you see in a movie that you see in the background. You're like, it instantly says, oh, high desert, California. Like you right away. I didn't feel that at all. In fact, like I said, that's why I felt surprised that it wasn't shot somewhere on one of the big islands. Right.
And what is crazy too, is also, I don't know what the budget was on this movie, but it doesn't ever look, I mean, except for the green screen and stuff. I mean, which we're talking 2009 and they were being very ambitious with what they were trying to do, but like, the rest of the stuff, none of it looks cheap or like, you know, or the set, the desert set is actually pretty damn good, dude.
Yeah.
I almost was like, how much of this shit was just out there?
Right.
Because there's a lot of weird shit out there in Lancaster.
Anyway, if what we described is something that piques your interest, it's right there for you to watch on Tubi. And I can't, And as much as it fits in with other themed months that we've had, I have to say that bitch slap. It's so weird just to say it out loud. It's a movie title.
Yep.
Bitch slap delivers, dude. It's like if once again, but you don't feel like it delivers because your expectations squashed right away. Like, all right, this isn't what I think it is. And that keeps building. So that whatever you have under your foot that keeps getting squished down as the movie goes, that's what I mean. It's like it's a movie that goes places you aren't surprised it goes to, but also really surprised they go to because it presents itself as a different animal than it is.
The spaghetti is running down the wall.
Yes.
As they say.
Simple makeup effects.
It's all done pretty well, man.
I mean, it's not gory or anything like that. There's a moment where a character takes a shot for a bullet in the gut that looked really good.
Yeah, Kinky's yo-yo stuff.
And that was CG too.
Yeah,
The yo-yo was CG. For them to pull off that in broad daylight, for that to still look good in 2009.
Right.
Really, man. It was really, that's how you know that the green screen work in this is intentionally rough. I'll say rough.
Yeah.
Because that CG work that they do in the desert with that yo-yo blade, it was just fucking clean, man. And I'm like going, wait, at first I thought it was just the digital blood when he was getting cut. Mm-hmm. You know, like when they're shooting the double blades were cutting into his uniform. But then when they did that reverse shot, what he was seeing, and she's like doing her Duncan yo-yo magic on him, I was just like, holy fuck, that's CG. That looks amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It did look really good. And one thing I also want to talk about before we punch out of this is the crazy fucking death metal score.
Oh, yes.
That sounds like every fucking death metal band you've ever heard, but it's none of them. It's just these guys doing their own thing. It's really good, man.
There's two styles of music you see in this whole, well, three styles really, is that death metal stuff that is just so aggressively over the top. And I have a feeling if you stop and listen to the lyrics, it's probably just as surprising as this movie is right. In general.
Yes.
Like it's probably really super satirical and we're just
right.
Not that well versed in the music or really stopping to listen to it, but lots of dubstep and there is video game music in there.
Yeah, totally.
And I really thought like, is that our connection to DOA? Is that why we got this? I don't know. Maybe it's the trio of hot women, that really loose algorithm.
Sure. Whatever that algorithm is. You know what I was waiting for, dude? I was waiting for like a Rob Zombie to, because parts of it felt like a Rob Zombie sideshow, fucking, you know, old Rob Zombie music video from the 90s.
The opening, like I said, the opening credits with all the stock footage. Tell me that didn't feel like those crazy edited montages from House of Corpses.
Yes,
that's what it looked like, right?
Yeah, totally.
Here's the thing: how it's represented with that poster. Is not that. I mean, it is a little bit, but it's so much more. If you got into it, this is like Roger Corman, but with utter intention and not because of money.
Right.
Everything you've seen in this movie is done. It's well thought out. It's well planned. And it's probably why their budget, which we don't know, is probably super low, like super low. I think it's interesting that we're not seeing
right.
Maybe they're hiding money. They're hiding money.
I feel like there were just a lot of favors done on this show. You know what I mean? And that makes sense too with the Raimi and all of those connections. So yeah, man. Yeah. Are there worse ways to spend an hour and 49 minutes? Fuck yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I took it upon myself to make little notes. I'm like, man, maybe I need to record this and like cut it down. Find the parts where to cut out and make it its proper like 89 minutes, like just something like sub between 85 and 89 minutes.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I don't think there's any story that's going to be missing if I do that. And it's going to be a little more digestible.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I know right where you probably fucking texted me because it's right about the same time. I'm sure it's the same point. I looked at my watch and was like, damn, man, there's fuck. How much of this is left? Because I was enjoying it, but it was like, fuck, you know, I kept thinking, can I jump fucking 2 minutes ahead? Am I going to miss anything? And I'm like, well, I might miss something cool by accident. So I never did because they do keep the visuals. There was always something, there was always the threat of like missing something that was kind of groovy and cool.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's kind of what kept me from jumping ahead when I kind of get a little bit like, oh, come on, just nudge it forward.
We got, oh, by the way, on Tubi, glitchy ad breaks on this one.
Yes.
They come up here and there, but it's just, again, just a black thing and it comes back. But twice it happened just before a flashback card popped up. And I'm like, wait, was that a hiccup? Did I lose something? I couldn't tell if I lost some information.
Right.
Like I said earlier, though, I don't think it doesn't matter.
But there is, yes, there's so much information that losing some doesn't matter.
No, no. Well, there you go. There is a movie we never would have watched ever. And I enjoyed it far more because seriously, dude, if I was told to watch this movie and I jettisoned when that moment when I texted you, I wouldn't have got to enjoy another 30 minutes of movie that is so much more worth it. If you can get through the swampiness of the middle of the movie,
there's some knee deep, muck you got to get through to get back to high ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Bitch slap.
Well, just like with Snake Eater 3, I feel bad for the movie that follows it.
Yes, me too. It's never going to live up to that.
There you go. So you want to follow the show on the socials, you can follow us at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. If you want to follow Corey on Letterboxd, it's Corey_Culp. And on Instagram is Culprit97. And if you want to follow some other socials and other linkage, you can look at the bottom of our episode show notes under Karate in the Garage linkage, and you'll find everything there.
If you'd like to follow me on Instagram, I'm at rockandroller33. If you'd like to follow me on Letterboxd, I'm at Tom Cody on Letterboxd. If you'd like to follow me at Blue Sky, it's the real John Ladd at Blue Sky.